and his injured ankle revealed no major damage. Colts are set to place wide receiver Devin Funchess on injured reserve with a broken collarbone suffered in yesterday's loss to the Chargers. A collarbone is shelving Jaguars quarterback Nick Foles. He'll be placed on IR as well. The Jaguars today traded for Steelers quarterback Josh Dobbs. In exchange, Pittsburgh gets a fifth-round pick. Patriots are giving wide receiver Antonio Brown a one-year contract with an option for 2020. USC AD Lynn Swann resigned. I'm Dan Beyer.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930 and 100.3 FM. Overnight, nice. Low near 57. Tuesday, more like summer. Hot with a high near 90.
It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bulbart and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you for about 45 more minutes. And while the weather is nice, might be 90 degrees tomorrow, you may want to get outside and enjoy that before the cooler temperatures prevail towards the end of the week.
And when you enjoy 90 degrees.
Some people enjoy 90. Okay. I don't know. Some people love
jump
it,
in a pool, I guess.
What's
or
that?
The lake. Jump in a pool the lake.
Well, when the fall temperatures do prevail, though, you're going to need to know what you should be watching. And here to help us do that, our Hollywood insider, Michael Warschauer. He joins us on the hotline right now. Michael, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. Happy to join you guys again.
Well, great to have you with us. And I want to begin with the box office. This is about the time of the year where some of these horror movies really start to stick and make their way towards the top of the list. That was certainly the case this weekend. No surprise that It, too, led the way, just over $90 million at the box office. But the reviews were kind of mixed. Any particular reason for that?
I think the biggest thing that I sort of saw, the kind of consensus among critics anyways, was that the movie was a little bit long. It's about 3 hours long, which is it's a long time for a horror movie. And granted, there were a lot of loose ends to tie up and a lot of excitement going into this adaptation, especially after the success of the first version of it that just came out, I think, last summer. They really pushed to have like a long movie, and I think it kind of came back to bite them in the end. That seems like the biggest complaint is that as enjoyable as parts of it are and as well as it hits emotionally at some beats and as great as the cast is, it's still long, and that's kind of hard to keep an audience in suspense through horror for 3 hours. But like you said, it was a huge opening, second biggest opening ever for a horror movie, just behind the first version of it. So a big win for the studio, and I don't see why we won't continue to see more of these adaptations of or reboots, I guess. Like, we've already seen Child's Play, now we have It. So I think we'll see some more.
I think some of it was the hit, the original movie version. The first one was always highly touted, It Chapter 1. And then Chapter 2, the end, kind of left people with something to be like, what was that? I just watched 4 hours of television made for movies that ended like that. Do you think some of that maybe played a role into this?
I think so, definitely. And I think that also part of it is that the first remake that just came out was kind of a surprise hit. Like, I think that they were sort of expecting a middle-of-the-road release, and they had a huge, massive blockbuster that, like I said, the highest opening for a horror movie ever. So I think that there's a little bit of a letdown after you have such a surprise hit in the first place, kind of accompanying that sort of initial letdown of knowing that original story, like you said, from the original version.
Well, we're in this world now where we always want to know what's next. What's the next big thing? And at the Toronto Film Festival, we got a little glimpse of that. What were some of your major takeaways from the Toronto Film Festival, and what films did you hear the best things about?
Well, I think there were two movies that were really big debuts this weekend at the festival, which is an early predictor for the award season. This is sort of where A Star is Born started to build a lot of momentum last year. And sort of similar to A Star Is Born, this year you have Hustlers, which has this amazing all-star cast, including Jennifer Lopez, Constance Wu, Lily Reinhart, Kiki Palmer, Julia Stiles, Cardi B, and Lizzo. And it's based off of a true story. It was an article in New York Magazine about a group of strippers who sort of took out their revenge by hustling finance Wall Street guys. And great reviews are pouring in for this movie. It's currently at 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and continues to rise. A lot of great buzz, particularly for Jennifer Lopez, delivering apparently a really great performance. And a lot of buzz that this is sort of the first big Oscar contender, that this is a movie that has a lot of big power behind it. And it sort of feels like the buzz that surrounded A Star Is Born last year, which ended up a little disappointing, but nonetheless was one of the more heralded and successful films of award season last year. So that's a big one to keep an eye out for. Another one, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. This is Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers. I think that's really all you need to know. I think that it's really a movie that sounds like it's going to pull at your heartstrings. Tom Hanks is predictably great as Mr. Rogers. That's kind of perfect casting. But from what I hear, it gets a little weak at the end. The end of the movie kind of drags out and tells a story that kind of detracts from the rest of the film. But otherwise, it's supposed to be pretty good and another big, buzzy movie heading into awards season, and then particularly for Tom Hanks.
Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. One of the movies, or one of the titles, rather, on the Toronto Film Festival that kind of caught my eye was this one called The Report with Adam Driver and Annette Bening. How excited should we be about this one?
I think this is a really interesting movie to keep an eye out for. It premiered at Sundance earlier this year. It's a pretty positive review. For the most part, it's a really serious drama. Adam Driver plays Daniel Jones. It's a true story. He was the lead investigator for the U.S. Senate's study of the CIA's detention and interrogation program after 9/11. And apparently it's a very intense movie, very serious, but very good from all accounts. Adam Driver has kind of continued this hot streak that he has, where he goes off and he plays Kylo Ren, and then he comes and he does a whole bunch of these dramatic roles where he gets a bunch of praise, and he continues that hot streak here. And Annette Bening is one of the best actresses we have around and is getting tremendous reviews as well. So this is, I think, an interesting one, but I think that it's going to be very serious and heavy, kind of in the way that like Zero Dark Thirty was, very, very much about mood and tension as opposed to a lot of action, but certainly one that I think will maybe not have the award season buzz of some of the other Toronto films, but one that certainly will be worth checking out.
Well, going to the lighter fare here, this very Brady renovation show certainly has a lot of intrigue, bringing back a lot of the old cast. You think this is the start of something that we could see a little bit more of?
I do think so. It's kind of an odd concept. Basically, HGTV bought the house that was the exterior of the home for the Brady Bunch for $3.5 million, and they're bringing the original cast back together with several HGTV personalities to redecorate it and remodel it and make it look like it did in the TV show. And then there's a prize where you can go and stay in the house with six people and get to be there. So it's kind of it's a very gimmicky show, but it works really well for HGTV because how often do we talk about HGTV as being a power player on cable? Usually it's just the channel you go for home renovation shows. So I think that if it does well ratings-wise, you're going to see a lot more of these kind of shows where they're sort of repurposing nostalgia that we've seen in all these reboots and, coming back with all these shows. I think you'll start to see it applied in more creative ways. So you'll start with the Brady Bunch renovation, and then you'll get the cast of another show to come and renovate a place and do it. And it'll be very buzzy to see all these people together. So I think it's an interesting tactic for kind of some of the outside players in the cable landscape that are trying to compete and get some buzz and get talked about So I think if it's successful, we'll see copycats for sure.
That's what I was saying. 1313 Mockingbird Lane, right? What's more iconic than the Munsters' home? I'd watch that one for sure.
Exactly. I think that there's just like such a huge opportunity that if people are interested in this, they're going to just keep pumping them out nonstop.
No question. Well, we'll stick with the lighter side here, too. What do you know about this new Netflix biopic comedy, Dolemite Is My Name, with Eddie Murphy?
Well, this was another movie that had its Toronto premiere and came with a lot of buzz. This is Eddie Murphy's, really his comeback vehicle. He hasn't done much of anything in a long time. I mean, his last really, I think, big cultural moment was Dreamgirls, which was a long time ago at this point. So this is a big comeback moment for him. And it's kind of coupled with the Coming to America movie, as well as his upcoming Netflix specials, which apparently are going to be his first stand-up in, I think, 25 years, something like that. So there's a lot of big buzz coming around him, and apparently he very much lives up to the hype in this performance. He plays 70s cult comedian Rudy Ray Moore, and one review I read said, "We haven't seen him this good since 2 decades ago." So this is a really big comeback vehicle for him. I think it has some early Oscar buzz. We'll see what happens. He notoriously kind of blew his chance with Dreamgirls by making a really, really terrible movie, The Clumps, at the same time. So we'll see what happens with the rest of Eddie Murphy's year, but this seems to be a very, very promising start for him.
Yeah, a huge comeback year for him, no doubt. I know we discussed this last week a little bit with the return of the Coming to America movie. I think a lot of people really, really excited about that as well. All right, we're going to table our Alec Baldwin roast discussion until next week, because it officially airs on Comedy Central next Sunday, and I'm anxious to see what you think about this next week. So we'll table that for next week, but I think that's got all kinds of potential. Comedy Central does a really good job with these roasts, and I think the one involving Alec Baldwin this Sunday could be a heck of a lot of fun. So having said all of that,
absolutely,
Michael, let's get into your picks to click. What should we be watching this week?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, on the 15th, if you hadn't had a chance to see the Surviving R. Kelly documentary series, it will be coming to Netflix, and you can check it out. This obviously has led to finally the arrest and fall of R. Kelly, and it's supposed to be very powerful. I have not had a chance to see it, so I'm very excited to watch it myself. And then on Friday on Amazon Prime, you can watch Undone. It's an animated series from BoJack Horseman's Raphael Bob Waxberg and Kate Purdy, starring Rosa Salazar with Bob Odenkirk, amongst others, in the supporting cast. And it's about a woman who gets into a near-fatal car accident and discovers she has a new relationship with time and uses this ability to find out the truth about her father's death. So an interesting one. And if you're a fan of BoJack Horseman or Tuca and Bertie from Raphael Bob Waxberg, then I think this will be one to check out for sure.
Great, great stuff. Michael, as always, we tremendously appreciate the time. We appreciate the insight as well. Have a great week, and we'll do this again next week.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Boy, a lot to get into there, a lot to digest for sure. A lot of cool things on the docket this week, and this is an exciting time of the year because there are a lot of movies getting ready to debut here in the fall.
Sure, on TV. Seasons are about to start up here soon, but yeah, as he mentioned, some good stuff coming to Netflix, Amazon Prime. That show he was talking, I can't remember the name. I know we just said it, but it's a different take, I think, than that BoJack Horseman and Tweety and Birdie or whatever the other one's called. It's interesting. It looks like it's kind of half animated, half real, if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe it, but it looks very intriguing, to say the least. I'm looking forward to checking that one out. I'm glad he reminded me that's coming out.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's get to a break as we approach the bottom of the hour in just a couple of minutes. Matt will give us an update on the local news. We've got the University Hospitals You and Your Health segment coming up next.